Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
You know, Exploring Missions, the purpose is to let you know that missions happens, if you're a believer, it happens where you are. That's at work. Yes, it's at church. But Nathan, don't you think it's at home as well?
Absolutely. The first mission field that God puts you in is your home.
And so what we want to share today, we have an interview with an individual that is just doing a great work in sharing how to be missional in your home with your children. And that's true for children, but it's also true for grandchildren. With me, at my age, we're talking about the next generation is the grandchildren. And so, Nathan, we want to pass it on. I grew up hearing Christianity is one generation away from extinction. Well, that can be true in a home, so you want to pass it on. And the scripture that I thought of today, Nathan, was Proverbs chapter 22, 6, and it says, "Train up a child." Now, it says, "In the way that he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it." I tell people that's a principle with a promise. I think you got to look at it both ways in Proverbs. But the key part is train up a child. It's not just bringing them up. It's training them up, isn't it?
It is. It's intentional. It's a mix of formal and informal times or teachings, and parents, fathers specifically, need to learn and grow in themselves in how to train, how to teach, how to give direction to their children, both formally with sitting down and having a family devotion or a discipleship plan, but also informally where you're just, as you're going throughout life, you are sharing God's wisdom with the next generation.
So it is taught and caught. And without
Absolutely.
Both of them, it's not going to be what it needs to be. The thing I thought about with our interview and training up a child is a training camp. For baseball, they have spring training in Florida and Arizona, and they're there getting ready for the season. In football and basketball, I guess all the other sports, those are three that I'm more familiar with, they have the training that is to be taking place. And they get there to get in shape, they're to know the plays, they learn to work together. So part of the home life in missions is learning to work together. And sometimes that's very difficult, isn't it?
It can be very difficult. If you're not on the same page, it's very hard. But as fathers, as parents, we have the obligation to first make sure we are on the right path, that we're modeling correctly, that we're teaching correctly, and that we have a base of knowledge of God's word, but also in living out an on-mission lifestyle in front of our children so they can come along with us, and then we can be together in that.
You know, in those real early years, in the toddler years, preschool years, and young elementary school years, it's so much fun. I had so much fun acting it out. As they got older, I tried to say, I transfer some of this to you. It's not just what I give you, but it's also what you can do for yourself. So part of that training is not what you just tell them, but also what you help them to learn to do. And in the interview that we have today, I think you'll hear that, and you'll hear him trying to give, I would say, encouragement, but also examples and then activities that can help us as parents, especially dads, to be on target in training up our children. And it is missional beyond description that we reach the next generation. Listen to the interview, and I pray it'll be a blessing to you as you equip your family for missions. This is Exploring Missions interview this week. We've shared with you a little bit before this interview about the ministry that we're to have in our home. with all my heart, I want people to know that missions begins at home. Now, I want to share that because when you read over in Acts, it starts in Jerusalem first. Now, I know that's a big city, but listen, we need to take care of our own vineyards for sure, as the Bible talks about that again and again and again. So our guest today is Jared Lopes. And Jared, thank you for being with us.
It's great to be with you, brother. I appreciate it. And I agree with what you said. Yeah, it starts at home.
It really does. I heard a story about a great evangelist. I'm not going to call him by name, but he was a great evangelist. His wife, after he had died, said while he was out winning the world, he was letting his home, I won't direct her exact words, but he failed at home. Listen, we desire to be faithful to God, but especially in our homes. So, Jared, I understand, and I've read a good bit, and I've heard a little bit of your podcast. That's exciting. In a day in which we live in 2024, being a podcaster, those are exciting days. I'm on the radio, but because of the new, when I say new, I'm talking about from my generation, you know, having podcasts, that's great, and I appreciate you doing that. How's that going?
Well, it's going really well, and I think people appreciate it because it's kind of the radio on demand. You can listen to what you want to listen to whenever you want to listen to it, and so I think that's been helpful for a lot of the dads who listen to our show. Is they'll typically listen on their way to work or way back, or maybe while they're mowing the lawn or something. But yeah, we've been able to reach a lot of guys and with the gospel and encourage them to be the husbands and fathers and men that we feel like God's calling them to be.
Well, I can share this with you. AFR, we found it out, and so we archive our program so people can listen to them by podcast as well. And so we're trying to change the world for Christ, and so exciting to partner with people who are knowing Christ and making a difference. So this is the heart of dads being tired is, if I understood, and I'm just going to quote this, get men to love Jesus and help their families to do the same. Is that kind of the mission statement and purpose?
Yeah, I mean, that's it completely. I always talk about how it's hard to get your family to love something that you're not really in love with. It's pretty easy to see what a family's passionate about based on what their dad's passionate about if the dad stuck around. And so you'll see kids who like certain sports teams or into certain sports or maybe certain activities or whatever it is. But a lot of that filters down from the dad first. Whatever he loves often bleeds down to what the family loves. And so we just say if a man loves Jesus first, if his heart has been changed by the gospel, then it's much easier for his kids to fall in love with Jesus. That's not to say that a child can't fall in love with Jesus if his dad is not, but it is certainly much easier. Statistics show that. And so we just believe, man, let's see the hearts of men captured by the gospel of Jesus Christ and have their lives radically changed by Jesus. And when they do, they'll just kind of naturally fall into a spiritual leadership position without even as much effort as they think that they would require.
We do repeat the familiar quite a bit, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I can testify to that to my dad. My dad, there's some issues being hurt at church and not being as faithful in the beginning, but I saw him still live it out. That was tough, but as a 10-year-old boy, we got back in church, and in those 2 years before I came to know Christ as Savior as a 12-year-old boy, I recognized that in my dad, not only that he loved God and loved Jesus, but now he was faithful in that church, and it made an impact on me. So I testify, brother, that what you're doing and the heart of your mission, it is true. I have, Janet and myself, have 3 sons. And praise the Lord, they love the Lord, and then a granddaughter and 4 grandsons, and we're trying to not have any generational slide. That's what you want. You want one. Is it like a relay race passing on the baton faith from one generation to another?
Yeah, I mean, you're living what I want to live, you know, a few years from now. You're living my dream to have kids who are older and they have their own kids and to be a grandpa and to see your hopefully grandkids and maybe even great grandkids follow the Lord. I mean, that's my goal. I still feel like I'm a rookie dad. I don't really know what I'm doing. I've only been doing this dad thing for 13 years. So I'm just trying to figure out. That's why we say we're stumbling our way toward Jesus.
Amen.
Because I just feel like I'm figuring it out on the fly. But yeah, man, you're living it out. That idea of passing the baton. I always tell my son that it's, you know, I'm not just parenting him, but I'm trying to parent my grandkids and great grandkids. The decisions I'm making for him, the rules I'm putting in place, the way I discipline, all of that is not just for his sake, but for my great grandkids' sake. And I say my son because he's my only boy and he's my oldest. So I'm trying to give him a picture of that this is generational, that I want to see the glory of God passed down from generation to generation. It's not just a here and now thing.
And it's better seen than heard, but it's good to hear and see both, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you've heard the saying that more is caught than taught, and I think that's true for all of us. We catch more things than we're probably taught. But I also want him to know there's intentionality behind things. And I was talking specifically when I was having that conversation with him. I was talking to him about him wanting as a 13-year-old to have a phone. You know, that's, you can imagine how that conversation goes in our house nowadays.
Yep.
And I was telling him no, and all his friends, you know, he was saying, you know, all my friends have phones. And I was telling him, but buddy, we're not trying to be like every other friend. We're not trying to be like every other family. We're different. We're set apart. And I'm trying to raise your heart and your brain and your mind and your spirit to be different for the sake of my great-grandkids. And just trying to give them bigger perspective on if I'm saying no, why I'm saying no. So yeah, taught and caught for sure, but also I want them to hear the intentionality behind the things that I'm doing.
When you read Deuteronomy 6, that is the pattern. You see that it's both taught and caught. You're to live it out, and then you're to teach it. And it's got to be purposeful. It needs to be intentional. Living out and catching it is as you go. But when you teach it, it's got to be intentional. And I appreciate you having that heart. Let's do this. I know you talked about your oldest being a 13-year-old young man, a wife, and how many children now?
I have four kids, so my son is my oldest. He's 13, so we're starting rite of passage journey for him. And then I have three little girls, so he's got an 11-year-old little sister and then a 5-year-old little sister and a 3-year-old little sister.
Ooh, the action is taking place and the drama is coming. Is that what? we had one granddaughter, and we found out it's quite different raising three boys and four grandsons than one granddaughter. It's different, but it's great journey. And I know that's exciting for you. Let me ask you this. When my sons got to be around 12 years old to 13, rite of passage, I used Dr. James Dobson's material a lot. And we went on a trip, just myself and my son, 12 years old, about to turn 13. Back then, it was cassette tapes, just let me be honest. And those of you that don't know what a cassette tape it is, look, Google it and find out. But anyway, we would travel and listen. We could not just sit around a table and listen. It wasn't going to work for boys. They're too much like their dad, kind of hyperactive. But while we're traveling, they could listen. But it was very beneficial. Now, what we would do, we would say, we're going camping and going whitewater rafting. And, man, it really, all three of them still talk about that trip. Now, they don't talk about what they learned, but I know they heard it. But they talk about what we did when we get there. So is there some joy in the journey that you need to put up there as you're training your boys and your girls?
Oh, man.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, I love what you did, the camping and whitewater rafting. I agree with you completely. That's how boys operate. I feel like I'm, as my son is entering in his young man years, I feel like some of this is teaching my wife how a boy learns. You know, she's got the three girls too, but she'll try to sit down and talk to him, and I can just see in his face, you know, he's not absorbing it. And even yesterday, we homeschool, so she was trying to get through to him on something, and I could tell he just wasn't in the right frame of mind to hear what she was saying. He was sitting on the couch with her, and I said, buddy, get up. Let's wrestle.
So yeah, man.
He had a cranky attitude going into that. I said, let's practice some jiu-jitsu a little bit. So I was wrestling in, letting him choke me out. I'm roughhousing him a little bit. And, I mean, sure enough, it was night, like a switch flipped, you know. He just all of a sudden his attitude changed. He had more energy. He was ready to engage. And I went back into talk to my wife, and I said, you see that, the difference between a boy and a girl? Like, it just sometimes they just need to get some stuff out to reset. But yeah, we're actually going to do a similar trip. I've booked a trip to do a 22-mile canoe trip, and then you camp it kind of in between that.
Yeah.
It's a 2-day thing. But yeah, we'll start that rite of passage with him in that way.
Well, it is a rite of passage, and you into knighthood, and that's what you're working for and sharing that. And it's missional. This is Exploring Missions, and this is missional. We want you to have that mission of passing the faith on, and that's what Dad Tired has. Well, I want to get some more. I know you're online, but I noticed you talked about annual retreat. Do you have that for men as well, or possibility of it?
Yeah, so we do multiple one-day conferences, kind of like workshops all around the country throughout the year. That would be like a 9 to noon kind of thing where a guy could show up at a local church. We just talk about what it looks like. We talk in pretty normal language for men, what it would look like for them to lead their family well and be a man after God's heart. Once a year we'll do an annual retreat where our guys from all over the country and even the world will come in and we'll find a spot and spend a few days together chasing after Jesus.
You know, you talked about from our country, America, but from around the world. Isn't that the neat part of the internet? I mean, even this program, because of the internet, we go worldwide. God's opened up the doors for us in that, hasn't he?
Man, you know, there's a lot of talk about the end of times and when God will come and when Jesus returns and all that, but a lot of that is predicated on the gospel reaching every end of the earth.
What is that? Matthew 24? I forgot the exact verse. But anyway, it says until the gospel basically does that. And amen, brother. You're preaching the message, I believe, as well.
Yeah, and as much as I have a hard time with technology, honestly, even though it's kind of my world, there are many things I don't like about it at all. But I do believe that God will use big parts of technology for his glory to spread the gospel throughout the ends of the earth. So it is a blessing.
When you read concern the Revelation, the two witnesses, and anything like that, years and years ago when I first started studying, how in the world can that happen? But now because of the technology of the internet and mass communication, oh yeah, they can see those guys. So yes, it can be used for good, and that's what we're trying to do. Here at AFR, that's part of our mission. Sounds like it's part of the Dad Tired mission to do this. And these conferences, if people would go to them, how could they learn about them? How could they learn about it, Jared?
Yeah, I mean, dadtired.com is the best way to learn about all that stuff. Everything we're doing is on dadtired.com. We have books and conferences and resources there. But I want to go back to what you were saying about parenting as a mission. I think that that's so right. What we're doing is we are trying to equip our kids. This is part of the reason we homeschool our kids, is we are training up missionaries to be sent ones out into the world. We just want to have as much time with them as possible in order to train them well, to make sure that their mind is sharp, their hearts are ready to receive the gospel and to know the gospel, and their minds are sharp to be sent out. We don't homeschool so that we can protect them from the world necessarily. Obviously, there's a piece of that, but really we're trying to help shape their minds so that they know how to think well and how to seek truth and to know truth. And when somebody presents something that is not truth, they're able to debate it well and give good thoughts behind it and reason and use reason and logic. And so, all of that is missional. Like we want them to be sent ones out into the world. And so parenting is missionary training 101.
Amen. I'm going to throw this in because homeschooling, yes, great. And honestly, I say, well, that's kind of new. No, it's the oldest kind of education in the world. I don't think Cain and Abel went to Garden of Eden Elementary. They were there, Adam and Eve, training them. And so Christian schools, they came about first, and then the public school. So homeschooling is a missional, and it is catching on, and it is good, and I agree with you. And so I'm excited for you. Tell us a little bit, if you could, about the resources. You're talking about these conferences and resources. Are the resources there on your website as well?
Yeah, so we have 5 books out, Dad Tired books, or Dad Tired books that would fall under the Dad Tired umbrella. The most popular one is called Dad Tired and Loving It. It's this green book with a face on it. And what I think probably the most encouraging reviews that I see on that on Amazon are the amount of wives that say, I've never seen my husband read a book and he finished this one. That probably speaks to my writing style. I'm not that smart, and so it's easy to finish and read. But I really did write it in such a way, knowing dads are busy. Most dads don't have time to sit down and read a book. And so just try to have relatable, gospel-centered content that is easy to digest, but also can be life-changing. And that's a big resource we have. We have devotionals and even children's books. But yeah, all of that's on either Amazon or Dad Tired.
Okay. Our guest today on Exploring Missions is Jared Lopes. He's with Dad Tired. It is a podcast that you can be a part of, annual retreats, conferences that they do, the resources that are available. And again, I noticed also you were a pastor for a while. Is that right?
Yep, that's right. I spent 12 years in the church world before I started Dad Tired. I was a teaching and discipleship pastor, worship pastor for a little bit, but yeah.
Okay. Well, let me tell you, if you're a parent and a pastor, you're equipped to do what you're doing. I've pastored for close to 40 years before I came on board here at American Family Radio, and it's rewarding and challenging, but it is great preparation, too, to do what you're doing, because you got to get into the Word, and you have to do it, and the Word of God is the basis of this all, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know this, brother, that pastoring a church can sometimes feel much easier than parenting your children. I can write a sermon, but, My kids don't care about my sermon. You know, they got to watch me live and see my temper or control myself. And you're living out the message versus just preaching it. So, yeah. But yes, there is a lot of preparation that's helpful.
Well, my boys, they said, we want a dollar for every time you use us as an example, and we would be able to pay our college education. But
yeah,
anyway,
yeah.
So it is an amazing journey, parenting. And that's what this is about. I want you to do this, and we're going to give the website, and again, before we leave, but let me ask you this, and this is really, really important, I believe. Why parenting in a godly way is so important, and we've mentioned it, passing on the baton, but there may be a pastor listening, there may be just a dad listening, and we want them to know they're involved in the greatest work in the world. Would you share how important this is about being the dad and showing leadership to the wife and the children who God's put them under your watch care? Would you share the importance of that?
Yeah, I had a mentor tell me when I was a very new dad and I was stressing about some work stuff and what I would be doing next for career. And he just looked at me. He was older than me and much wiser. And he said, Jared, you'll probably have a lot of job titles before you leave this earth. You might have a lot of different things on your business card over the years. But the titles that will go with you to the grave are husband, father, and disciple of Jesus. And he said, the things that you need to focus on most right now are those three things. Jobs will come and go, but you will die a husband, you will die a father, and you will die a disciple. Go home and make sure you're doing those really well. One of my best friends is a counselor, and he told me that really their main objective, it doesn't matter if you're in one session or 1,000 sessions, really the main objective is to get you to forgive your parents. You know, that's pretty much all every counselor is trying to get to.
And you mean, no parent is perfect, huh?
Absolutely not. Yeah. And so, yeah, the way that we're shaping our kids now, it's going to have a tremendous impact. And the reality is, our children are being discipled no matter what. You don't have a choice whether or not your kids are discipled. It's just who is discipling them. YouTube will disciple them. The TV will disciple them. Culture, their friends, school, teachers, coaches, everything's going to try to disciple them. And so you just have to decide, are you going to be the most intentional discipler in their life? Or somebody else will take that baton gladly for you. And so it's important. It's life-changing stuff. It's generational stuff. I am who I am today because of many of the traits that my grandpa had or my great-grandpa had and the things that he passed on to my dad who failed. He left when I was 3, and there are wounds in my life because of the result of his sin. And so I just want to get this right. I know I'm not going to be perfect, but I want to chase after Jesus. I want him to shape me and use me so that my kids can have healthy lives. And ultimately, when I say healthy, I mean that they really love Jesus. I don't expect comfort or success. I just mean healthy in the sense that they're spiritually, they know who they are in Christ, and they find their hope and their satisfaction in Him alone.
Jared, I want to say thank you for setting up the priorities in a Christian husband and father's life. You've done it an excellent job, and I know the podcasts do that, and I praise God for that, because that is what God has required us to do. It is required of a steward to be found faithful. And the greatest stewardship that God's given to a man who's married and with children is that family as he follows Christ. And so, brother, thank you for your calling. Thank you for your ministry that you're living out. Give us that website one more time where there's resources. Are the annual retreats, is it the annual retreat, is it listed there as when it will be and the conferences? What all's on the website so people can look for it?
Yeah, thank you again for having me. It's been a fun conversation. Yeah, so it's dadtired, D-A-D-T-I-R-E-D, dadtired.com. And then, yeah, if you want to sign up for the annual retreat, we do those every year. And then we have, like I said, those one-day workshops all over the country. You can find those if you want to get a book or you're maybe for the, one of the men in your life. If you're a woman listening, we get a lot of wives who gift these books to the men in their life. And then the podcast, we do that every Monday. We've been doing that for 8 years, so we've got hundreds of episodes on the podcast that they can listen to right away.
Well, brother, it has been a joy to talk with you. And you and I are in the same boat when we come to these priorities. Now, again, those guys who are listening, it is a struggle. And every once in a while, you'll get those priorities out of whack, and you have to revisit and say, okay, God, I need to recalculate. I don't know if you remember the GPSs, and you'd go a different way than they'd say, and they'd say, recalculating. Now,
yep.
I have to recalculate ever so often, even as a granddad. And so, again, our guest has been Jared Lopes. He's with Dad Tired. You can find it at dadtired.com. So, brother, keep it up, and may God bless you with your 13-year-old son and your three daughters, and may they be champions for Christ, brother.
Thank you so much. It was great talking to you.
Thank you for listening today on Exploring Missions, as mission begins at home.
American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
Dad was concerned about the direction America was headed, and he was determined to do something about it. Maybe that describes you today. If it does, I want to strongly encourage you to consider a charitable gift annuity to American Family Association Foundation.
Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.